It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Carl, a lot of guys get a kick out of hearing from Coach Glanville. Old school.
Yeah, man.
And it was funny because one guy hit us up with the text line and goes, some good and bad memories because, again, it was also part of that historic never having back-to-back winning seasons.
True.
But it was a moment in time, as we said, that I know a lot of fans, certainly the guys that I sit with in my section at 342, who go back to Fulton County Stadium and the old Georgia Dome, talk about, you know, we have like certain seasons. 2002 with Mike Vick, 2004, you know, you think about like our 98 season, you know, 2016, there's certain years, and 1991 was one of those seasons.
You know what, I think though, Mike, that era also brought along what we crave today. Entertain us.
Right.
They didn't win chips, but they were so damn entertaining.
Right. Personality.
And they had star power. Right. And, you know, again, if you're going to say, well, Dukes, you'd rather have that than chips? No, I'd rather win a Super Bowl. But in the process, can we do a little bit of both? I don't want a boring team, you know? And I'm hoping, Mike, as we get into this Penix era, right, that some of the stuff that we're hoping to get from some of these guys starts to come out. Guys, it is fun when you have a team with personality. I don't want to be robots and just winning. And
right.
Like there's something that you will love the team more. We will be more engaged with the team if some of this stuff comes out. And that's why those teams are remembered. You go look at it in the record books, for those of you who are not familiar, and you're like, well, they didn't win a championship. No,
no.
But they were damn good, yes. and they were entertaining.
But it's a different time, and I think all things being relative, Atlanta was such a smaller town in 1991.
No doubt.
I've got friends, you know, who have been here and their entire lifetime, and, you know, pre-Olympics, you know, what it was like here in Atlanta. You know, and I talked about it, it's like the Wild Wild West is the phrase a lot of guys used to use. But, yeah, just kind of cool to get a little snippet from back in the day. And we've got another big surprise for 404 Day coming up later.
All right, stay there. Let's talk about the Braves quickly here before we talk about the Dogs, because we are getting ready for the home opener. What do we need tonight? It's simple. We need a hit. That's it. I think Schrellenbach's going to be okay, Mike. This Marlins lineup is certainly not anywhere close to the Dodgers lineup. And if he gives you the kind of performance he did the other night, I think we're going to be fine. But that's what we need to do today. I mean, like, at the end of the day, let's start to build on maybe today, get a dub, we hit. Same thing tomorrow, Mike, and all of a sudden now we get out of this slump that we're in right now.
Yeah, man, Money Harris going to lead off. Ozzie in the two spot. I'm Ozuna from the Braves as DH today. Matt Olson batting cleanup. Riley's batting fifth. In case you're wondering, no, it is not Kelnick, Chris. It is Brian De La Cruz going to be in left field. Drake Baldwin behind the dish. And the plucky Nick Allen. And, yes, Jared Kelnick, though, in right field.
Allen's making things happen. I mean, 2-for-4, stolen base the other night. You can't complain.
Can we use the prefix plucky for him now for a while?
Look, if he's getting it done, I think you said, look, we might have another option to platoon him with Arcia.
I mean, if he can, if he keeps hitting like this, that's one thing. Now, he's a .211 career hitter, so he may come back to his normal equilibrium, but it's a nice story right now. Yeah, one of the few positives right now, the first seven games.
Braves have not lost a season series to Miami since 2014. That bodes well for us tonight.
Right on.
And in this series. All right, man, we've got more to get to. Let's talk some dogs. All right, Dylan Bell, Mike. We've been talking a lot about this wide receiver room, trying to be the weapon UGA needs him to be after really a disappointing 2024 season. I mean, we talked a lot about Dylan Bell, and then we talked a lot about Dylan Bell and where he wasn't that good.
Right.
And Dylan Bell is trying to do some things this spring, Mike, to elevate his position and certainly elevate himself. He said everybody's got to adapt. After losing to Notre Dame, you know, they were asking him about the spring, and he said a lot of people are picking up new roles, and we just got to adapt and live up to the standard that the guys in the past have had to set. He had balls, we know this, that hit him in the hands, hit him in the chest, and we were all screaming like, come on, Dylan, you got to catch that. Those are the balls that you expect him to come down with. And I'm sure, listen, Mike, he may have been pressing, but I expect him to have a much better year this year.
I mean, I'll just for the sake of not an argument, but I don't think he's the guy.
Neither do I.
I don't think you do those things and all of a sudden the switch goes on. I don't think you're clutch. And prove me wrong, right? I think a lot of Dog Nation feels the same way. They got two big transfers coming in the portal who can catch the football. So we'll see. But, I mean, yeah, that's just – it's like Frazier with the fumbles. Hold on to the rock, man. But obviously higher expectations for Frazier than Dylan Bell. You see the article today in Dog Nation? They were talking about leadership. One of the things you and I were talking about with the offensive line. And it's a pretty cool article about Micah Morris. He's going to be a senior guard. Talking about Jamari Salyer, the impact he had on dudes that have now moved on to become the next starter. And we talked about the continuity. It's part of, you know, having a team that's got their ish together. So we're going to need that offensive line to be good. We need them to be better than they were last year.
Yeah. This is something Dylan Bell said, ironically. He recognizes it's a younger team. Kirby's been talking about this all spring and how he's been talking about the team and dealing with the team. He's not making excuses. He's simply telling Georgia fans, this is a younger team than what we've had here in the past few years. And even though we've been really good, there's some learning. There's a learning curve that's going on right now. And so, you know, when you've got a few seniors, and Bell is one of them, as we talked about him at wide receiver, one of the few seniors, Mike, this is something that I think, you know, when we start the season, I think you're going to hear Kirby talk about the growth of this team. And if they grow like they're supposed to, by the time you get to the end of the season, you'll be where you need to be.
Yeah, man, we told you yesterday, we played the soundbite of Jim Nance on Dan Patrick's show, basically kind of bemoaning where college basketball, who he obviously loves very much, all those March Madness that he called those Final Fours. But Silas Demery, we mentioned yesterday, goes to UConn. Apparently there was a bit of a bidding war between St. John's and UConn, and now we're waiting to find out just if he can add a few more guys to the pot, because they're bringing better athletes, and you're going to have to if you're Mike White, if you want to get back to at least the tournament and hopefully build on what you did last season.
Yeah, look.
But with some new faces.
I just don't think the SEC is going to get any easier. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to get more difficult with the success of these programs, and everybody's building on it. Now, look, Texas A&M lost their coach, and, you know, they were one of these tournament teams. But, Mike, as far as Mike White is concerned, this is an offseason where I think he has to show us he can retool in an era where you're not just losing one and done. You're losing multiple players to the portal. How do you retool and build a team?
Jeremiah Wilkinson coming from Cal, that's a big steal for them. And again, that's just kind of – this is the way it's going to be. It's going to be just like college football, maybe
that's
even
right.
Because, you know, there's more basketball teams, maybe even more widespread. And then, of course, you know, you got to get – man, if I'm Asa Newell – Asa, if you're listening in Athens,
stay, Asa.
Stay in school, kid. You're not ready for the NBA. You're not that good. You need another year of seasoning. You know, I mean, you stay another year, you could be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. You're not going to be a top 15 pick.
Yeah, look, and you know, I don't know if the NBA will ever change the rules back to what it was. You know, you have to be 1 year removed from high school, which is why a lot of guys go G League. They go overseas or whatever.
Right.
And this is why guys like Cooper Flagg is at Duke. Cooper Flagg could be in the NBA right now. But if they ever change that rule back, Mike, he probably would have been a guy that would have thrown his name in there and then went in the league and then realized, Mike, he wasn't ready. And then what happens is you're sitting 2, 3, 4 years and you realize he could have been getting the work in. So I'm with you. I think that's of the utmost importance for him to continue his development. But I don't know who's in his ear to convince him that. Is it Mike White or is it somebody else?
Right on. And we said this earlier. What did you say, 2.5-point favorite?
Yes,
is Duke over Houston?
Five.
It's Auburn is a It's Florida is a 2.5-point favorite over Auburn.
Yes.
It's 5 for Duke over Houston. Johnny Broome looks like he's good to go. So iced up, hyperbaric chamber, and hopefully he'll be able to give you some quality minutes, man.
That's crazy. The way he went off the floor.
Everyone thought it was the knee, but it was the elbow, which was worse. And Chris, and his elbow's hanging there like a piece of meat, and he's still able to hit some 3-point shot.
Yeah. I think the game between Duke, and this is no – listen, we saw Florida this year a lot.
Right.
And Auburn, and it's going to be a great game. But the fact is, I think that Houston-Duke game, Mike, probably dictates who's going to win this thing. Because whoever comes out of this in that game, I think, just from a defensive standpoint, I'm not saying Auburn doesn't play defense, but that over-under, 136 points, like everybody's looking at that and going, all right, this may be a 45-55 kind of, you know, but Duke scores. And this is the thing. If they can't hold them down, I don't know if Houston can score with Duke the way that they score. That's the issue.
Cougars, Joseph Tugler, he's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Pretty simple. Quote, we just know we have to guard. And that's what they do.
That defense
is their calling card for Kelvin Sampson. But, yeah, man, this is – you always say that.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Style makes the fight the ultimate weapon. This guy who can do it all, you know, sort of the small, you know, small forward, you know, whatever, however you want to classify Cooper Flagg against this elite defense.
All right, man, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. We're live at Murph's Cobb Galleria, hanging out before the home opener tonight. And we got some guy talk on the way. No Steve Coonan today, by the way. He will join us again next week. And another special
guest. I've got
guest.
A ballroom dancing competition.
Is that what's going on?
Yes, that's okay. Why I could not be with you today.
Thank you, Steve. 404 day,
it's great
Mike.
Great cardio.
We're going to talk to another great guest coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. A guy that, look, we've been saying it. He should be in the hall, right?
He's one of my favorite Braves of all time.
He should be in the hall. But we'll talk to him, so stay tuned to find out who that is. Grant's going to stop by as well, as we'll preview tonight's game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell.
Wiki.
Oh, that was a great song back in the day. Jam on it. Mike was telling me about this apparent dispute lawsuit that's going on. Wait till you hear this story coming up in Guy Talk. I was like, huh?
Two guys getting hot over the number 8.
You can't own all of them, can you?
I don't think you can.
All right. That's on the way. Also, we will get into some Falcon conversation, guys. Look, today is opening day as far as our home opener for the Braves, and it's a big deal. It always is. We were just talking to some listeners. They were saying, Mike, it's kind of become a tradition. He's got one of my buddies got his friend. He's got his son here, and he was saying his son's playing, you know, baseball, rec baseball, and all the things, traveling team. And he was saying, you know, he's like, Dad, we're going to see the Braves. And it just, you know, we said this when we started the show. Like, it brings back memories,
right,
of either you skipping school, maybe your dad or your grandfather, or maybe, right, even your mom. Brought you to a game and was like, hey. It's just a cool thing to be at the ballpark, especially when your team has its opener.
My thing when I was a kid, and this was, you know, again, guys, if I knew I was going to be doing talk radio in Atlanta, I'd have told Dad to let's move to Sandy Springs. But growing up in New York, so happened we had season tickets. And back then, just like it is today, it's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, even though a box seat was $4.50.
O'Shea
Stadium. So we would have these, it would generally be like the week right before the season would start. And my dad, we shared our season tickets with three other families. It was two cops, two firemen. And so we'd all get together, and the dads would all be in the dining room table, and the tickets would all be getting doled out. So everyone gets to go to a couple games each homestand. And then there's, all right, well, there's Mother's Day. It's a fan appreciation. Yeah. Who wants that? And the Mets always had the crappiest. You Braves fans, you kids today have no idea how good you got it with the bobbleheads and the rings,
the gifts,
and the cool. The Mets,
yeah,
it'd be like
the giveaway.
Oh wow, Dad, a snapper Mets rain poncho. Mom will love that. You know, it was just the crappiest stuff.
You know what's funny when you say the tickets were divvied up, because that's beyond the realm of most people now. It's like, what are you talking about? My tickets,
right,
on my phone. When you used to get the tickets, guys, you got a book of tickets.
It was a giant sheet,
okay,
that really would come out, and you'd have to fold it
and so
perforate it.
To your point, like, there were physical tickets. And guess what? If you lost the ticket, you were blank out of luck.
Correct.
Like, that's a whole other element, Mike. Like, well, you got the tickets. You got the tickets. Like, we don't even think about that now.
So
right?
The rain check, and it was always Mr. Met holding an umbrella. That was, like, for the rain checks, you bring the ticket stuff. But, yeah, that was – and it was the same thing for us with hockey and with the Knicks games.
Yeah.
That's how you divide it up.
I just know the feeling. I get a little tingle, man, when it's opening day.
The tradition, father and son, mother and son, mother daughter, father daughter.
Sure,
just bringing your kids. You know, and just seeing so many folks here. Obviously, the battery rolling over. Just it's such a cool time. I do think, and you know, we get so jaded, and you think, man, is there still that connection?
There is.
I still think
no,
that
there is.
And baseball exists.
No, I know enough folks, Mike, who they're trying to. It starts with your parents, though. I mean, like, if your parents are into it and they get you into it, usually, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
You know? The funniest thing for me as Trent has grown up now is when we were doing things and I was showing her sports and she was like, Dad, I don't care. I don't want to watch this. Why are we watching this? Now I get the phone call. Did you just see that play? And I'm like, really? Now this is what's going on? So it's funny because you don't think it has an effect. But it does.
Right.
And now it's like, are you watching the game? Who do you like tonight? You know, and I'm like, it's this constant thing that it's always in and around. And my point is, for those parents that are coming to the game tonight or today or over the weekend, it matters.
Right.
Your kids, it will matter, and your kids will pick it up. And if you enjoy it, I know you might not think it right now, but they will pick it up. And eventually they're going to be like, Dad, can you believe what we're 0-7? One day they're going to call you, and you're going to be blown away.
Right. I know we're a long, long way out from Father's Day and Mother's Day. But, you know, one thing with us with the generational thing is so cool. I know that we both lost our dads, is meeting some of these athletes that I know my dad liked. You know, like the time you and I were in Indianapolis with the Final Four, hanging out with Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, you've known him for years. So cool, because I remember getting those autographs when the Dodgers, just like today, like back then it was the same thing, just didn't cost $300 million. But when the Dodgers came to town, it was like, holy cow, it's an entire team of all-stars.
Yeah.
You know, it was just it was like a rock star. It was like the Lakers coming to town.
It really is, or was at that time.
Right.
Hey, man, love to hear from you. You guys can chime in as well, 404-726-0929. And by the way, we're not telling you, you know, oh, you got to come to a game. We're simply sharing our right. thoughts and memories about this. And, you know, on the way to the ballpark today, I said it. I'm driving. I'm seeing people tailgating. There were people out here at, like, noon. Because right. they had to be set up because they were already tailgating and cooking and all that stuff. And I'm like, that's cool, man.
You know, it's a tradition. You know, we talk about there's rites in spring. The home opener, yeah, we're trying to kind of just flush out the fact you started 0-7. Grant McCauley, if you missed it earlier, there's been about 80-some-odd teams have had seven-game losing streaks. It's just when you start the season 0-7,
sure.
it's just a different kind of dynamic, which creates this doom and gloom. But that's, you know, the rite of spring. Hope springs eternal. Another rite of spring, the Braves signing Jesse Chavez,
to
releasing Jesse
deal.
Chavez, and then bringing Jesse Chavez back at a minor league deal.
Yeah, look, I asked you the other day. I said, he's done, right? He's gone. And you were
so
like, yes.
This would be 8 point, Jesse 8.0. So there's been eight times this guy's been in a Braves uniform? That's unbelievable.
Well, look, I think the move the other day was out of necessity, right?
Okay. Wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't like we hate Jesse. Or we don't need him.
But Jesse Chavez is still in the organization.
He is. And he's back on a minor league deal. Yeah, that came up about an hour ago. We were both laughing because he doesn't go away.
Right.
Hey, he elected free agency. That's right. He did elect free agency because
right.
they did option him down. And nobody signed him. So then we signed him back. All
and
right.
We may release him again. He'll go to the White Sox. We'll get him again.
Well, look.
He is the bad penny that keeps turning up.
It doesn't cost you anything. I mean,
no.
At the end of the day, it's not, you know, it's not breaking the bank.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Braves, and I don't know if you saw this video from yesterday in the Mets. Mets are on the road. Did you see what happened to Minter?
No.
He falls off the mound. He loses his balance. Now pitching for, still can't get used to seeing Minter with a shaved head pitching for the Mets.
Looks weird.
But he literally falls off the mound, and it's ruled a balk. Because if you move towards home and the ball doesn't come out of your hand towards home plate, that's a balk. So if you hadn't seen Minter, just Google Minter balk, and you'd be like, yeah.
Was it awkward or was
yeah.
it like,
Well, no, not like he rolled his ankle. He just basically fell off and lost his balance.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's rare. I mean, I've seen a couple of balks already because, again, guys on the mound, and then you see, you know, the pitcher's trying to keep an eye on the first base situation. Guys make that movement, and they blow it. What do you think we get from Shrelly tonight? Grant's going to stop by next hour to talk with us about tonight's matchup.
Hey, how about a four-hitter and hold him to one run?
I'd love it.
How about that?
I'd love it. Well, listen, this is the other part of it. As much as we're not hitting, and again, that's going to get going,
right?
You do need another stopper, Mike. You just can't say every fifth day it's Chris Sale. You need somebody else to step up and give you a good quality start, hold the team down, and give you a real chance to win. And, you know, that's why that loss the other night to the Dodgers. You were up 5-0, and you're like, we got this. This is in the bag. Hey. And then we blow it.
Hey, by the way, I'll give you some more former Braves news. And I hate to see this, but kind of see this one coming. Michael Soroka goes on the 15-day IL after hurting his arm in his debut for the Nationals.
Brutal.
Up in D.C., he left to start against Toronto on Monday. He called a feeling that shouldn't be there. Man, he really is. I mean, you really feel for the guy, the Achilles, and then just, you know, more leg injuries. Now it's the arm. So, yeah, Soroka, and that's the thing, he's only 27. He's got the injuries of like a 45-year-old, right? Like, Evel Knievel had less injuries than this guy.
No, it's true, Mike. And you know, sometimes you move on from a guy at the right time.
You have to.
You absolutely have to.
I'm just saying. I mean, I wish him luck, but you don't wish him ill either. I mean, that's terrible.
All right, man. We're live at Murph's, guys. Coming up, some guy talk, as you mentioned. We'll talk about the Falcons. Draft right around the corner. Next week, we'll start to get into some particulars and a special guest on this 404 day. 404 day.
And by the way, you know what? You guys can hit us up on Twitter if you like. Carl's put him up, C Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Your first baseball game. Do you remember who was pitching? Do you remember anything about it? Because how old were you for your first ball game? Do you remember?
I think I was nine.
I think it was nine. Now, they told me I went in 73. So I went to a game that Willie Mays played in.
Okay.
But I don't remember it. But I do remember when I was a little bit older, five.
Yeah.
Not younger, five. But
yeah.
Five the next spring. The green grass, the lights. It was a night game. And it was the Mets Padres. I saw Dave Winfield. And those brown and yellow McDonald's base uniforms the Padres used to wear.
The old Padres.
But the colors, I think as a kid, the first thing that hit you was the color. The color, the lights, the green grass. It was like, wow. Sensory overload, man. But that was my first Mets game.
Yeah,
Tom Seaver on the bump against the Padres.
Was here. I've told you, Mike, at Old Fulton County Stadium, we had come to visit Grandma, and I got a chance to go see the Braves, which is ironic now for me, but that was my first baseball experience right. Outside of watching it on television. And by the way, you ever see one of these old broadcasts now? I don't even know if we knew what we were watching. Like, have you ever seen, like, they show a game from even the 90s?
Right.
It's so minimal, grainy.
But the stats, because it's...
You can't even see anything.
It's pre-HD.
Yes.
So it's basically like watching an old VHS tape. And so there's a graininess to it. The graphics don't look crisp.
They're
because
terrible.
Of it. So remember that when ESPN2, it kind of like the slanty graphics. Even something from like late 90s looks really weak.
It looks old. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. I saw one of these highlights the other night, and I was like, when is that? And they were like, in 1995. And I was like, what? No way. You can barely see this. The numbers on this guy's uniform.
Like, right.
We take for granted the clarity now that we have and all these camera angles. Mike, I mean, they didn't have all of that back then, too.
Quick question. I know we got to catch a break here. Well, we're doing like memory lane because it's home opener. When was the first major league? I did minor league baseball in West Virginia with the Orioles. What was the first major league clubhouse you ever get to go into? Was that in Houston?
No. It was actually in – it was a minor league. I was covering AAA baseball, which is a grind.
yep.
I'm just telling you. Like, and by the way, like, two dudes that you cover will probably
right.
make the show. Everybody else not making the show. Some of these guys were in the minor leagues for like 8 years because they were chasing their dreams. Right. But I was in not El Paso? What's the city down there, Mike? It's the southern Texas city. Hold on, I'll have to look it up. But I was down there covering minor league baseball. It was the first time I had to cover baseball
right.
as a part of my job, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And they were like, it's different than the major leagues. And I was like, of course it is. But the minor league, the best thing about that was the food was cheap and the entertainment at the park
right.
was great. The players, you know, they were like, you're trying to pick up some of these names. And half these guys, I'm serious, you guys know this if you've watched baseball, most of these guys don't pan out. That's the thing. Baseball is so hard to get to the majors, Mike. It just is, man. It is not one of these things where guys just, you know, if you're not a phenom, you could be on the grind for seven,
right.
8 years before you, 5 years before you get up here.
My big exclusive interview, Carl, for WWVA, I forget the name of the TV station, was with rookie Pokey Reese.
Oh.
He was rookie ball for the Reds.
Yeah.
Princeton Reds.
You know what? I think it was Kerrville.
Yeah.
That was the city.
Oh, wow.
I think it was the city that I had to cover baseball.
It was breezy, beautiful Bowen Field in Bluefield, West Virginia.
Yeah.
You never forget that stuff. Anyways.
Well, Kerrville has a great strawberry festival, by the way, but that's about it.
It's the home opener. Memories from two dudes who've been in radio a very long time. We'll come back, guys, in Guy Talk. Who knew there'd be such a hassle for the trademark of the number 8? And what professional athlete has got such an issue with his own big mouth, he actually taped it shut? We'll explain. Where to play is play. It's a Friday. It's opening day. And we're here at Murph's, man. Come for the cheese curds. Stay for the shenanigans with Dukes and Bell, man. We got a very special guest coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. Braves fans, you're not going to want to miss this. We were talking earlier today with Jerry Glanville. A lot of guys hit us up on the text line. Loving the old stool stuff. As a couple guys said, from RJ, goes, that's when I fell in love with the Falcons.
Yep.
He goes, granted, it's been a love-hate relationship.
It's true.
Going back to Glanville in the late 80s, early 90s, and the transformation from the old uniforms. I loved those black helmets, the black lid. I loved what we do the red throwbacks. But anyway, a lot of folks going back to what primetime meant for Atlanta and making Atlanta sexy with MC Hammer on the sideline. And as you said, yes, it only produced one playoff trip, but it was still a very fun time.
Entertaining. Entertaining team, big personalities. You didn't know what was going to happen or somebody's going to say something. And again, that's why I said Jerry Glanville was almost the perfect coach for that club, for that squad, because
right. He
had a big personality. But he allowed guys to be themselves.
Right.
And that's why that thing worked, Mike.
Right. All right, man, the business of sports. And what exactly is a number your number and only your number? If I said
when I wear it.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But afterwards, and you're building your brand, the number 8, right off the top of my head, I would think Kobe, Yogi Berra.
Okay.
You know, I mean, later on, Aikman. But if you're a racing fan, it was Dale Jr. And, of course, now Lamar Jackson rocking 8 with the Ravens.
For sure.
Well, Kobe Bryant, probably the most accomplished athlete to wear 8. We mentioned Steve Young wore it with the 49ers.
Yeah.
MVP, Hall of Famer. Just talked about Aikman. Well, last year, Aikman and Lamar Jackson got into a little legal tiff. Lamar attempted to stop Aikman from filing a trademark for a light brand beer he was involved with in Texas called 8. as well as related merchandise. It was spelled E-I-G-H-T. He asserted that he'd previously cornered the market with filings linked to U8 Yet restaurant concept and his Era 8 line of apparel. So, interesting, Lamar Jackson going after Troy, and the battle was still being waged as of last month. So Aikman and Lamar haven't settled anything yet. Meanwhile, intellectual property attorney, nice gig, Josh Gerben, and the Ravens quarterback have added another one to his plate, courtesy of Dale Jr. The lawyer for Lamar Jackson came across and filed some paperwork to challenge the trademark of the number 8, the stylized 8, which is slanted.
Yeah.
It's funny because literally Monday,
you were talking about the
Squid Billy had this brand new hat.
Yep.
They brought back the old Budweiser gear, and I used to wear that stuff. Like, if you're watching this on the old station on TV, I used to wear that stuff all the time. But anyway, they got a new one, and I just got one. And I'm not paying Lamar Jackson. I'm paying DEI. I'm paying Dale Earnhardt, his company. But anyway, the quarterback's argument hinges on the belief people would falsely believe there's a link between a red and black 8 and Lamar Jackson's 8? With a Budweiser on the side and
no.
an Earnhardt signature?
No, but
it's been hard to wrap your head around that conflict.
Look, I think this is difficult for anybody to rule on simply because, Mike, you can't exclusively own the number across
right.
all sports platforms, right?
Right.
If we're talking about the NFL, and by the way, Troy Aikman's been retired for 20 years.
Right. E-I-G-H-T.
What are we
spelling out the number 8?
Yeah, I just think this is a hard
case.
Does
Lamar want a piece of Kobe Bryant jerseys that still get sold?
Listen,
I support his lawyer's hustle, but it seems like lack of common sense.
Yeah, I think it's a stretch. I think when you're asking to own all of these intellectual properties across, again, all other sports,
right.
and everybody that's worn 8, and if there's an infringement that you want something out of it, I just think that's difficult. And look, the deal with this is there were guys who wore 8 before him. What if Steve Young now comes out and says, nah, you know what, I had it before you. I think you owe me some money.
My MVP throws your MVP.
Yeah.
No, there's an article in the website Bro Bible, which is pretty cool. Sometimes, if you hadn't checked it out, they got a lot of good stuff that we get into here on the show. But in the article, and this is what I'm reading from right now, the author of the article has spoken with this lawyer, and he's pretty skeptical that Jackson will be able to prevail in the case against both Earnhardt and Aikman. The trademark trial and appeal board will weigh in on the most recent complaint sometime in 2026. So it's way down the road. So it's an article by the guy's name is Connor Toole with an E.
Okay.
So if you want to go check that out, if you're into that kind of thing. Have you heard this story? Very strange story about an Ohio State beat writer who denies some theft after getting fired. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's an awful announcing.
No.
If you live up in Columbus, I guess these are the guys who follow the Buckeyes, two prominent Ohio State beat writers fired from their podcast roles on Friday. Jeremy Birmingham and Austin Ward, who covers Ohio State for Rivals website, terminated from their podcast duties, which they co-hosted along with another guy that writes for Ohio State. And the story goes that according to screenshots of a text message circulated on social media, they informed subscribers of their departure, announcing the shutdown of the company's text. He says, at this time, we believe it appropriate to remind you that canceling is as easy as typing stop. But the point is, apparently, they're talking about thieving, or thievery of some stuff. A post from an insider says that there was speculation that they were fired. Now around social media, that apparently that they were involved somehow in, I guess, claims that they brokered NIL deals.
Oh.
And that these are writers saying that they were putting together deals for current Ohio State and soon-to-be former that are going to the NFL, Ohio State Buckeyes, that as if they get a piece of the action.
That's interesting.
That's why they've been terminated. Specifically, claims against these two guys brokered a $25,000 NIL agreement for one of the players to promote a brand, but they only paid them $5,000. So we'll see about this. There's an article in a website called The Oracle and The Root. A lot of Ohio State stuff.
If sure.
Don't want to go
sure,
down
sure.
that rabbit hole. But basically, neither Rivals nor the parent company are commenting on this. But isn't that a conflict of interest when you go from being a writer? Now, some of these websites are rah, rah, rah. And they do have basically pom-poms and everything. But the idea that you're a writer covering Ohio State and you're brokering NIL deals? That's a bit of a conflict of interest.
A little bit. And Mike, I mean, listen. This is part of what, Michigan fans would tell you. And I think Ohio State fans would tell you the same thing with the sign-stealing stuff that happened. But you have people that are in on the program who shouldn't be in on the program.
right?
And to your point about a conflict of interest, like, hey, covering the team and trying to, you know, be fair and balanced, you can't be if you're involved in this kind of stuff.
But it's almost like these guys became bagmen because they were accused of allegations of mishandling NIL funds.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, I saw this earlier and I was like, okay.
You know who doesn't have that problem? Georgia.
What? Not on Kirby's watch.
What? I'm just saying. Georgia doesn't have this issue.
Not on my watch.
Alabama might, but Georgia doesn't have this issue.
It's not how I roll. Hey, man, we've heard about a lot of professional athletes. Maybe Draymond Green comes to mind, who maybe would want to tape his mouth shut. This one is a little interesting. It's a guy who's struggling on the Corn Ferry Tour. So, for those who don't follow golf, this is like the AAA of the tour. It's sponsored by the accounting firm Corn Ferry, the consulting firm. And so you make it, you graduate from Corn Ferry, you get your pro card, you get to be on tour. If you win. If you're like one of the top, I think you have to be what? Somebody will tell me it's top two or three.
You have to be ranked
Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this guy's name is Ryan McCormick. He taped his mouth shut, literally taped his mouth shut, so he'd stop getting mad at himself. Hey, I'll show you the video. He looks like a friggin' idiot. He used scotch tape.
That's dumb. No, seriously.
I mean,
by the way, are you talking to yourself that much that you're in your head that you can't even say anything out loud?
I mean, that to me is, I got to be honest.
We all talk to ourselves when we golf.
Yeah, I mean, but to sit there and actually, I mean, tape your mouth shut? You're still having the thoughts in your noggin. You still have a dialogue.
But he didn't say it.
I mean, I make a bad shot. Before I drop a mother blanker, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to say it in my head.
Yes, this is true.
But anyway, the guy's like, I mean, I'm not, like, proud. I want to create an experience for my playing partners. So basically, apparently this guy was annoying other guys. So he's basically now, so now I guess when this thought comes to his head, now you look over and the dude you're playing golf goes, because that's not annoying.
No, that's not. That's even worse. Yeah, I thought you were going to tell me this guy just, you know, blurted out things randomly.
Like he had Tourette's or something.
Exactly.
Not to be trifled with, but, it is its own thing.
But that's what I thought you were going to tell me. Why would a guy tape his mouth shut? I thought this guy was just on the course.
You know, by the way, we were just talking about it.
What?
We were just having our first clubhouse experiences.
Yeah.
I didn't get into a major league clubhouse until I was working for the Rock Station in Florida, and we got press credentials for the Marlins. Remember Jim Eisenreich?
Of course.
From the Phillies? He had Tourette's. And
oh my.
And so the story was, I got to pal around for a couple – well, not pal. My girlfriend – no, Becky, don't listen. My ex-girlfriend was friends with Darren Dalton's soon-to-be wife.
Mm-hmm.
Remember she did Hooters on the radio? She was a Hooters girl, had a talk show back in the old days. Well, anyway, I got a chance to hang out in the Marlins locker room. And the joke –
That's how you met your girlfriend?
No. She managed the Hooters in Coconut Grove.
I'm sorry. You threw it out
she
there.
She knew Darren Dalton's girlfriend.
Got you. So that's the connection.
Dutch.
Okay.
You think you and me run hard in the paint? There ain't nobody I've ever met in my life that goes went harder than Dutch Dalton. And I'm not even – I mean, there ain't nothing. I've never seen anybody go harder than Dutch Dalton.
Wow.
Okay. I mean
– All right. Would you stop looking at me like that?
Now, getting back to the point about screaming and
you just had a daydream right there when you were looking at me.
Tony the Mailman could probably tell the story. Anyway, it's a long time ago.
Tell me about the Tourette's.
But no, so Eisenreich had Tourette's. He really did suffer from it, and that was a legitimate beef. But the story was, and remember, former, he was part of that Phillies team with John Kruk and Pete and Cavilla and Mitch Williams and all those guys.
They were good.
Know, that was a good squad. But he would start to scream obscenities if a reporter started asking annoying questions by either side of the locker.
Just so randomly?
If somebody's talking to Greg Council, Kevin Brown, and all of a sudden, Mamer! Even though he really wasn't having a Tourette's episode.
That's not right.
It's a great way to get rid of.
Oh, yeah, people and reporters.
The reporter next to you.
Yes.
No, I just – no, because, you know, real quick, for guys – Chris, have you been to the Braves Clubhouse yet? Have you done that yet? So when you go in, I learned back in the day that if they didn't want you around, guys would start cleaning their spikes, you know, smacking shoes together because that makes noise, you know. So it's just, you know – but Eisenreich, you know, he did struggle with it. But if somebody's asking, like, pointed questions or something, he would just, like
– It's funny.
Bugger, bugger, bugger!
Yeah. That's funny. That's what I thought you were going to tell me about this golfer dude, but that's funny.
Apparently, he does scream obscenities too.
Yeah.
But now he's now mumbling it with his mouth taped shut.
What happened with that girlfriend?
No. It was a lot of crazy. It was a lot of crazy times. All right.
The way you no.
Have
no.
you ever dated anyone that was really, really hot, but still so? How do I say this in 2024 or 5?
Careful.
Just a rather simple soul.
Oh, sure.
That.
Yeah.
I took her to. Well, I can't.
He's easy going.
I can't. Yeah.
Simple. Easy.
Tony the mailman's dad goes, man, she's a knockout, but jeez, you got to talk to her.
Okay.
She gave play by play by the drive home. Like, I'm getting off the exit. I'm at the exit. Oh, there's a guy asking for money. I'm going to give him money. I gave him money. I would literally get a 25-minute play-by-play of the drive home.
Wow.
I'm going to get gas. I'm putting gas in the car. It's taking a long time.
Well, you know what? She wanted to make sure you knew that what she was doing and she was safe.
Do you remember the skit? They had Joe Montana on Saturday Night Live, and you could hear his thoughts. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was what she was like.
Okay.
There wasn't a complex thought in her head.
Gotcha.
If I make it simple.
Yeah.
There you go.
You are.
And I'm going to avoid the other stories.
You said it without saying it.
Thank you.
Yes,
you did. And there you have it. There's guy talk from a time, and that time was 1997, Carl.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, man, we got more
there
to get
to. There should be a statute of limitations, but when I get home, I'm going to get the silent treatment over that story.
Come on. It's old. It's an old
Thank
story.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you.
And Becky, you heard him talk about her not really having it all.
Thank
all right,
you.
Listen, we're coming back. We're going to talk about the Falcons. We're going to talk about the Braves. We're going to have a special guest. It's 404 Day, and that special guest is one of the all-time great Braves. Stay tuned to find out who it is. Grant McCauley's going to stop by, preview this series with us. Big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.